The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, from the Department of Religious Studies, it's Jim Tubbs. How are you?
Doing well.
You're very excited about UVA's victory, but you're not wearing colors today. I mean,
not
did you
today.
Do that?
I have been earlier
previously?
In the week,
okay.
Yes, and my UVA cap.
I understand that Lubbock, Texas had quite an eventful night, the night that they knocked off Michigan State.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That wasn't good.
Well, they had a great team.
Yeah, they did.
Texas Tech was a good team.
Absolutely. Well, come on. Overtime in the national
yes.
championship
oh.
game? It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Someone I know who watched a lot of those games, because he clued me into a lot of them, is my dad, John Mayo, who is, again, a guest panelist for today.
Yeah, I hope I could answer a question.
I think that you did on the last show, didn't you?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Everybody comes on the show thinking they have to answer the questions. We're like, have you ever listened?
You don't know who
we
are.
What is it? We do.
Yeah.
You just kind of grasp at straws, have a good blow off of steam.
Well, I know everybody stares at the
map,
so I got right in
yes,
front of the map.
To stare at the map.
Yes.
Yeah,
I absolutely. Do not stare at the map.
Continuing around the table, Dan Maggio is here.
Hi, Matt.
How's it going, Dan?
I come with no expectation of being able to answer any questions. So but I leave happy
excellent.
Every show.
But you do that every week. Yeah, exactly. It's just, it makes perfect sense.
We might get some math questions.
Oh, I hope so.
Lord knows.
You can rescue the rest of us.
I hope. Well, I failed in the past. But I'm doing well. I'm liking the weather, as much as I'm a winter person. And
oh,
curling is over for the season.
Aww.
Yes. So, but I'm enjoying the weather and the gardening. Things are starting to come up.
Yeah.
It's lighter later.
Yeah, I love that.
So I can open my windows.
Good feeling.
Opening the windows.
Yeah. It's I always thought that this time of year was sort of like a angry teenager. It's just the mood swings and the
yeah.
temperature and the light and everything. My middle child went to a Tigers game yesterday, which was not a good game and was butt
no.
cold.
Uh-huh.
And aside from the Archdiocese of Detroit allowing every altar server in the diocese to get a free game, they were basically the only people in the stands.
Yeah.
He proceeded to come home, shove dinner down his throat, and then play baseball for an hour and a half in that weather
whoa.
That night, where the poor kids were getting stung in the hands by the ball, and everybody was crying
cold
at the end of the night because they were so cold.
It builds
cold
character.
Yes, it does.
It builds character.
Yeah.
Or
so,
turns them into one.
I understand that stuff is coming up. It's nice to see the tulips and the daffodils, and soon the forsythia.
Yes.
Bursting in yellow. Yes. Professor Beth Oljar is here from philosophy.
Yeah. Well, if spring is rebellious, this explains why I was born in April.
No question about it. April's an interesting month in the state of Michigan. I mean, I don't know. What's the weather out where you're from at this time of year? As crazy as it is here?
Well, generally, there's not snow options. Those are pretty rare. Probably overcast and misty the way it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
That's also
year-round.
In Oregon, yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And no umbrellas. If you live in Portland, you don't carry an umbrella.
How
that's
gauche.
True. That's true. It's true in Seattle as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except people at Washington used to carry umbrellas.
Well, they weren't.
And you would nearly put someone's eye out walking on those brick pathways.
Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
It's like...
Oh my gosh.
I walked into class once and it was raining a lot, and so I wasn't wearing a coat or carrying an umbrella. And my professor looked at me and he says, "Sometimes people wear coats, Beth." And I said, "Well, sometimes people are weak, Larry."
Ooh, ouch.
Ooh. Oh, Larry, who?
And then I proceeded to take
Bunger.
My final exam.
Oh, I know who. I remember. Yeah, Beth and I actually got our PhDs from the same institution.
You knew Larry?
The name is very familiar to me.
Well, he was famous for a philosopher. That's probably why.
Al Fresco is again joining us, although we hope the accent has been put to bed forever.
Yes, I have excised the accent.
Oh, okay.
I like it.
But I must say that when I lived on the West Coast, I used to enjoy watching the Masters golf tournament because it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now that I've moved to Michigan, I really do not like watching the Masters because it is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I actually went out today and stepped on some crocuses just to get some of my...
Hopefully not in Heather's yard.
Those are my crocuses. Wait a minute. Did you really step on some crocuses?
I blame the Augusta National Golf Course.
Oh.
Well, it was either the madness at spring not really arriving in Michigan, or the big thing in the media was the Masters theme song has words to it that are sung by Kenny Loggins' younger brother.
No!
This is a real thing.
Dan Loggins?
And you need to look it up. That's all I'm going to say.
As long as it's not the basis of any questions today on ATP.
Professor Heather Hill Vasquez of English, I really hope those weren't your croci.
Well, they're not al frescoes.
Well,
so.
Well, they're not anybody's anymore.
They probably would have been the deer's.
Oh, yeah.
The deer don't usually eat the crocuses.
Not yet.
Does it look like it's going
to
be a good deer
get
spring
some, then,
or a tough one?
I think it, you know, the weather has been so cold and up and down. I think maybe they'll be a little less voracious this year.
Okay.
That's just my gut feeling. But, of course, I've been wrong before.
We'll see. We'll see.
Where's Sonny Elliott when you need him?
Oh, my gosh. Those, of course, are the dulcet tones of Professor Dave Chow from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent. So, yeah, there's some flowers coming up in your yard.
Yeah, slowly. We call those weeds. Yeah. So...
Flowering weeds.
Oh, those weeds. Okay. Well, it keeps the lawn green.
Yeah. Like clover. Or, yeah. You know, something like that. If the lower it is, the less you have to mow. That's what I always say.
Darn right. I still want to get goats.
Oh, yeah. You can get goats. That would be perfect. Then you wouldn't have to mow your lawn at all.
And baby goats are so adorable.
Oh, I love the way they jump with all four feet.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
And tasty.
Oh, hush.
This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win an autographed photograph of the Ask the Professor panel and the ATP mug. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize too, the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. Find us on Facebook or ask your favorite smart speaker to play Ask the Professor from Detroit Mercy, and who knows whose voice will be popping out of that
speaker. You don't want to do that with Alexa, because the people at Amazon are listening.
Yeah, they're definitely
listening. I saw that
this
morning. I'm like, I knew there was a reason I didn't have any of this crud in my home.
I saw it in the Times yesterday. I thought, no.
Yeah, there's some freaky stuff going on.
Yeah,
freaky stuff going on.
They're listening.
I won't even use Google Assistant and talking to my phone. It's just the idea of speaking to inanimate objects creeps me out.
It's kind of freaky.
Yeah. It reminds you of HAL.
Yeah, a little bit.
Never saw that movie, but I know.
Oh, you've never seen it.
That's a great movie.
Of all the movies you've ever seen, you've never seen that movie? You must watch
it. I've seen, you know, you bits and pieces.
Right.
But
I'm sorry, David.
Science fiction is
arguably one of the best movies ever made.
I'm sorry, I have to kill you.
I enjoy working with humans.
I tell you what, folks, let's take a look at these questions here.
Sure.
These are questions sent in from Sarah Martin of Carlisle, Ohio, long-time listener.
And our favorite.
She says, I realize I didn't send my address last time for prizes or anti-prizes. Thanks for including me on the show. So we'll do that again for you, Sarah. How's that? It's a safe approximation that we're going to have fun with these questions. They're all about colloquialisms and idioms, which are always, always entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Idioms held by idiots.
Yes. My mother grew up in southwestern PA in a town called Latrobe. This area has its own regional dialect, complete with words, phrases, pronunciations, and speaking rhythm peculiar even to the rest of the state. I'll skip over our use of the word yuns and pronouncing legal or eagle as liggle and iggle, and go straight to the rephrase, Mom had shouted at us plenty of times while growing up. Professors, what does it mean when you're in Latrobe and you red up?
Dan?
Did your homework.
Red up.
Yeah. Well, I grew up about an hour from Latrobe, an hour and a half. I don't know what that means.
You red up? What,
I
red up?
Is it R-E-D, like the color red up?
You know, it's written. It's, she says, Mom and I were debating on how to spell it. It's probably R-E-A-D, actually.
Is it clean?
Yeah, it's to clean things up. Yeah, you better red up your room.
It's the color.
Yeah. Okay. Friends are coming over. It says here, Yuns better red up your room. So that's what we need to do when we're from Latrobe.
If anybody is familiar with the Susan Glassbell play Trifles or A Jury for Peers, that phrase is used in that play to describe a room upstairs as it's red up there.
All right. So it's all cleaned up.
I was wondering why you were able to answer that.
Thank you, literature people.
There's three things that I knew about Latrobe before I came in here. Let's see if you know two of them. The one thing, of course, is Rolling Rock beer.
Oh, okay, yeah, yep.
But there are two very famous Americans who
Arnold
were born
Palmer.
There. Arnold Palmer. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only one that I
know. Oh.
The drink or the golf player?
The golf player.
The boat.
After which the drink is named. Yeah.
Okay. Arnold Palmer's little brother, maybe?
No, this would be I completely give it away by telling you it's probably the single most famous children's TV programmer of all time.
Jim Neighbors.
Nope.
Jim Henson?
It's
no.
Fred Rogers.
Fred Rogers is who it is.
What did I say, Jim Neighbors?
Jim, yeah, go to Kyle?
I know you did.
Oh,
I yeah.
Jim I know Neighbors? You did.
Oh, my gosh. That's so awesome.
The Maggio misfired.
It's the Pennsylvania
happens,
water.
It happens. Sarah says, I love learning any idioms I could while I was living in Japan.
Uh-oh.
Especially if we had something equivalent in English. And here are two favorites. The Japanese Prime Minister, Shinzo Abe, is often referred to as being Kuki Yomenai. It's literally translated as can't read the air. What do you think it means?
Can't take a subtle hint.
He's clueless?
Very, very close. Right. He's socially awkward. Oh, can't understand the unspoken language between people.
Yeah.
Oblivious to social cues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This one is going to be slightly more memorable for all of you. Oh. I can't remember the Japanese for the second idiom, but the literal translation is memorable. Your window to society is open. What do you think it means?
Your fly is open?
Your fly is down. Yes, that is exactly
mind you,
what
I grew up, I grew up with Asian parents, and you don't even want to know some of the wacky idioms translated back and
can
forth.
Can you favor us with one?
If you got fired from a job, there's a term that my parents always used to use, something along the lines of, you just had your abalone stir fried.
Seriously.
Wow.
Yeah, I never understood that. Your abalone got stir-fried meant you got fired.
Okay, sure.
He does lose his translucence.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. And that then there are hundreds more that I always regale my wife with, and she's just like, what in the world are you talking about?
I'm sure that people say the same about classic Western English idioms. Sure. How about some other idioms that Sarah discovered on the interwebs?
Uh-oh.
In Sweden, you hear somebody say, there's no cow on the ice. What does that mean?
Something about milk?
Yeah. No, nothing about milk.
Means the ice is thin?
No.
It doesn't. No.
There's no cow on the ice. Let me see if I can try to use it with something around here. It's like, Heather, I really need that paper delivered to me by Friday, but... You know what? Don't worry about it. There's no cow on the ice.
It's not urgent.
No hurry.
It's not urgent. There's no hurry. You don't need to worry about it.
Well, okay. It makes
sense.
So
you would
right?
worry if a cow was walking on the ice and might fall through.
Yeah.
All right.
How about in Thailand, someone says to you, the hen sees snake's feet, but the snake sees the hen's breasts. What does that mean?
Kinky. Oh,
keep your eyes on the prize.
Answering an idiom with another idiom. Yeah.
Sounds like something Ricky Ticky Tavi would tell us.
Sort of is. Sure, the hen sees the snake's feet, but the snake sees the hen's breasts. What does that mean? Assuming that a snake might attack a chicken.
Feet.
That is true. That is true.
So
is it a lie?
Oh, you're relatively close.
So the hen's not looking in the right place.
The grass is always greener.
You're answering idioms with idioms. You know what it means? It's that two people who could be enemies know each other's secrets to a stalemate is what it means.
Oh.
So if you know someone else's secrets, then apparently you say that entire sentence. And while we think about that, we'll take a break.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
And we are back with some great questions about colloquialisms and idioms from Sarah Martin of Carlisle, Ohio. We'll continue. All of these idioms mean the same thing. Oh. Thai. One afternoon in your next reincarnation. Russian. When a lobster whistles at the top of a mountain. Dutch, when the cows are dancing on the ice. French, when hens have teeth.
You
when
died?
Hell when hell freezes. Yeah.
Basically, yes. The English direct translation, it would be when pigs fly, right. So it's never going to happen, is what they mean. Yeah,
when
that's
pigs
exactly
fly.
Right. And we had a cow on the ice again.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Be amazing.
So they like close to keep by. The cows off the ice.
Yes.
I guess so.
When a Croatian says that someone's throwing cream in your eyes, what does it mean?
They're lying to you.
They're lying to you. Yes, they are. Trying to blind you.
with cream?
Or half and half, if you prefer.
Well, heavy cream.
It's a white lie. Right. It's a white lie.
It's a white lie.
Some of these, just using, you know, the human nature, just, you can figure out.
Never mind.
After something happens, the French say, "My tonsils are floating." What do they mean?
My
they
skin
need to
is
go
crawling.
To the bathroom.
Nope.
That's what I would think it meant.
Drank too much? I'm drunk.
Getting close. Actually, it's that you've eaten too much if your tonsils are floating up here.
Or so, what if you had your tonsils taken out? Then
well,
what?
Then something else has got to
I don't have any British colloquialisms. I might actually know those.
I know.
Your abalone got stir fried.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're hearing here.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Also in French, you might say to someone that you're looking at each other like earthenware dogs. What does that mean? You're looking
you're
at each other.
You're not blinking?
With earthenware dogs.
Staring at each
Yeah, you're staring
Is this a lady in the
other?
Tramp sharing the spaghetti strand kind of
are they
thing?
In love? Nice. No, it's the exact opposite, actually. It means extreme distrust.
Oh,
yes,
oh.
extreme
oh.
distrust. Earthenware dogs, I'm thinking of like the foo dogs where they just sit there
I'm
motionless.
I'm just wondering what the French for earthenware dogs is.
It's here. I'm not even going to try. In Russian, what would you mean if you could, quote, sharpen an axe on the top of someone's head, unquote?
They're smart.
Mm-mm.
They're stupid.
They're thick-headed.
Not very smart.
Yeah, they're stubborn. Thick. They're stubborn. Very, very stubborn. You could sharpen an axe on the top
thinking,
of their head.
That would be thinking more like a sharp. They're sharp.
In Portuguese, what does, quote, he who doesn't have a dog hunts with a cat mean?
You need to make the best of your situation.
Make the best of the situation.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
That's exactly.
Well, my cats would say, of course, lemonade. You're more likely to catch something if you're using a cat and not a stupid, smelly dog.
And then they would request a nap break.
Do you know that a recent survey suggests that dog owners are twice as happy or twice as likely to be happy as cat owners?
I don't believe it.
I saw that. Yes, saw that, right?
Did they ask any cat owners?
Uh-huh. Right. It was on the Times, and it also showed that whether you have a pet or not does not really affect your happiness. But if you do have a pet, cat owners are more likely to be unhappy by far than dog owners.
Yeah, but is there an actual correlation?
I just recall that old saying that dogs have owners, cats have staff.
Yeah, but that's true, and I have a Christmas ornament that says that.
Oh, I love it.
But
I love it.
Petting cats lowers your blood pressure.
Yeah, that's right. They're very soft. Also in Portuguese, what does it mean if you pay, if you have to pay the duck? You have to pay the duck.
Pay the duck?
Is that what? Paying the piper?
You couldn't find a cat or a dog?
Yeah, wait a minute.
So you have to pay the duck?
Paying the piper is close. It's a little bit out of the window.
Wait a minute. I'm starting to think red light district here. I mean,
No. No, this one means that you have to take the blame for something that you had no business doing.
Oh, so, that's like Jim assuming the chair.
Exactly. Pay the duck.
So
Jim's
got to like pay the duck. It's like bite the bullet. You just have to pay the duck.
Yeah, bite the bullet.
Right.
In Poland, you hear somebody say, but hopefully not to you, did an elephant stomp on your ear? What does it mean?
Are you deaf?
Somebody talking about you?
Close.
Did you not hear me?
It means you can't do something very well, unfortunately.
Ooh.
Sing,
basically. You have no ear for music.
Tone deaf.
Well, that actually kind of makes sense.
Yes. Apparently in Croatia, they paint an even clearer picture by saying you sing like an elephant passing gas.
Oh.
They're less subtle in Croatia. Wow. That's incredible. The Japanese have several idioms that include cats.
Mm.
What does it mean if you're wearing a cat on your head?
Hello Kitty.
You're very proud.
Close.
You're not so proud.
You're wearing a cat on
your head.
Your
staff.
Yeah, your staff.
No, it means that you're hiding your true intentions. You pretend to be nice, but you have claws. I think that's what it's referring to.
Okay, all right.
What does it mean when you're willing to borrow cat paws?
Is that like borrowing jacks?
No, I don't think so.
You're ready to get serious about something?
Nope. You're willing to borrow cat's paws.
Willing to borrow.
You'll treat something kindly, calmly.
Getting closer. It says here it means you're so busy you'll take any help that you can get.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, obviously.
That's a good visual.
Getting really annoyed on behalf of my cats.
This one's positive, though, Beth. This one's positive.
Or less negative.
When they refer to the cat's forehead, I don't know if there's any clue I can give you. And this is not a joke. It describes real estate. Any idea what it means?
What's the
line? When someone refers to a cat's forehead, it refers to real estate. But in what way?
Location.
No,
that's something not overlooking the water, or
Something in the front.
Cat's forehead.
I mean, you guys are really good getting within the wheelhouse on like,
with
the
windows.
First shot,
something with windows.
It's how you humbly describe like how well you keep your property for some reason.
Oh, so it's neatly groomed.
Neatly groomed. Okay. Like the cat's forehead.
Okay, all right.
Maybe.
Parted over one side.
But they don't.
Yeah, they don't groom their forehead.
They don't groom their forehead.
But everybody else does.
Can they reach?
It means you have a good landscaper.
Or good neighbors.
Yeah.
I don't staff.
Valley grooms Fiji's
or good
forehead.
Owners.
There you go.
Until he starts beating her up for doing it.
Bully.
How about in Kazakh? If someone says, "I see the sun on your back," what do they mean?
You're leaving?
You're late?
Mm-mm. I see the sun on your back.
You've spent too much time on the tanning bed.
It's a brand new day?
Nope.
You've been out working in the fields.
Nope.
See sun on your back.
I'm trying to think of a good clue for this one.
So he's relaxing. You're at the beach.
You're making a life change.
You're going to the nudist colony.
Yeah. You're walking down a new road.
A lot of stuff from Dave in this category today. No, it actually means thank you for being you. I'm alive because of your help, or you know, I'm doing well because of something you did.
We're back to Latrobe.
It's not a it's not a direct translation. How about in Icelandic? You get a fly on your head. What does that mean?
Somebody's going to hit you.
Probably.
Smack.
You're a bad outfielder.
Mikey Matuk.
Yikes. DFA. That's all I've got to say.
That's right.
No, actually, this would be a positive thing. If someone in here were to get a fly on their head about things we were talking about.
You have an idea?
You're going to get tenure.
You need a fly swatter.
In Brazil, some say pepper in another person's eyes is refreshing.
What hurts somebody helps somebody else?
In a way of speaking, yes. The joy derived from the misfortune of others.
Schadenfreude.
Only true joy, yes. That Sarah points out, this proverb is across many different cultures in the research that she did over multiple continents. So what can I say? We're all human.
It's just called human.
Taking joy in the suffering of others is just the human condition.
The human condition. This idiom is just for fun. My mom worked with a woman who frequently got her idioms mixed up. And one of our favorites was, "You can't get a turnip from a chicken." What was she trying to say?
You can't get blood from a turnip.
Yes, all your efforts will be futile. Mom assured her friend she thought chickens were stingy with their turnips. That's an awesome line.
I'm pretty sure genetics explains why you can't.
Oh my gosh, that's wonderful. There's just something about
chickens these days, they're just not turnip bearing the way they used to be.
Mixing metaphors is a very high form of comedy in my brain. That's all I have to say. We have just enough time to tackle an ATP favorite. So we have two guests with us today. They should think of some favorites. We'll tell you whether we've done them or not. How's that? What favorites could we come up with?
First thing you do when you get out of bed in the morning.
First thing I do, I'm embarrassed to say what I do.
Oh, no.
I put slippers on because I can't handle the cold floor.
It's okay.
That's like totally normal and
I
boring.
Don't know. It's totally boring. Oh, it's totally boring. But yeah, I can't handle the cold floor. That freaks me out. A house with...
you need radiant heat on your floor is what you need.
With wood floors. But what's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning?
That's turn off my alarm. Yeah. Turn off my CPAP machine.
Hit the snooze eight times.
I step on some crocuses.
Oh, okay.
Sleeping outside again.
Huh?
Yes.
Feed my cats who are bullying me for breakfast.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm 70. I go to the bathroom.
The morning constitutional.
After I look for my glasses on the side.
Yes, I was going to say, I look for my glasses on the nightstand.
And the second I get the lights on, I see all the fingerprints that I got all over them, fumbling to put them
on. Dan, you didn't answer last time.
I go immediately for the coffee machine, unless there's something else more urgent that needs to be done.
No, wait a second. I know you're a coffee fiend. You don't have like a robot making coffee for you? Come on, man.
You don't have a programmable coffee maker?
I grind the beans.
Like 10:30 a.m.
Dan, you can get machines that will grind the beans and brew the coffee at a programmable time.
I do have a French press.
That's the way to go as well.
Oh god.
I go in phases. Yes. I'll use that for a week or so, and then I'll go back to the coffee.
No, the French press.
I can't make coffee in the morning when I need it. Drew doesn't even speak to me until like the third cup.
It is funny because sometimes whoever's making the coffee will be so tired that we'll forget to grind the beans and put them into the French press and whatever.
Unground.
Yeah, I need coffee to make coffee, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true.
That's why we're thinking about getting a Keurig for the nightstand and just have some coffee before you even get out.
This is why you have a programmable. I get up
and prepare yourself for making
six every morning and go down and there's a full pot of coffee waiting.
Just waiting.
So to answer Mr. Meyer's question, the first thing that I will do is start the Keurig, and then I will get out of bed.
Yeah, and then you get out of bed.
So my favorite was going to be issued as an ultimatum, so I can phrase it that way. It was going to be, what is your favorite condiment? But also, if you could think of it this way, if you could only have one condiment in your house, what would you choose?
100% pesto.
What are you counting as a condiment?
Mustard. Yeah, mustard.
No oysters way.
Can I have many kinds of mustards? Vinegar.
Pesto, 100%.
Hot sauce.
No?
Now, with me, it would be either brown mustard or ketchup.
Salt.
See, I'm thinking...
Salt.
See, salt is not a condiment. Salt.
Well, that's why I was asking.
It's got to be soy sauce or oyster sauce in my house, but I grew up with enough soy sauce.
Sure.
I can live without ketchup and mayonnaise and mustard.
I know, yeah, exactly.
So, let's just... Pesto?
Pesto, 100%. I put it on hot dogs.
Mustard, for sure.
If I'm picking one of the standards, I guess it would be ketchup.
Absolutely.
Yes. Heather, you said hot sauce.
Hot sauce.
What kind of hot sauce? Frank's?
Yeah. Tapatio.
Okay. Tapatio, that's good.
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip?
Oh no. Mayonnaise.
Heck no.
Are we going to get into this debate?
Oh no.
You got to get Hellman's.
Mayonnaise.
We're not doing crunchy versus creamy or Oreo versus Hydrox. Let it die.
Let it die.
Oh, what about Dave?
Soy sauce.
Oh, soy sauce.
It's easy.
Okay. You did say oyster sauce. Too.
I backtracked. I went soy sauce. It's a little more functional.
I like oyster sauce too. But
it's good stuff.
I got to talk about real oyster sauce too.
Oh.
The stuff we buy in the store is not real oyster sauce.
I'm sure it is.
White balsamic vinegar, maybe.
My runner-up was going to be reduced balsamic vinegar.
Vinegar. No joke. Fantastic.
100%.
Okay. We need to have more than one condiment in our house.
Yes. Yes, we do. We also need, unfortunately, to say goodbye because we reached the end of the show. We've had a ton of fun. For us, this is the end of the academic year, but we promise it's not the end of fun with Ask the Professor. Just for now, it's Smell You Later. Dave.
See ya.
Heather.
I'm going to go home and check on my crocuses.
Elle.
I'm going to go home and wash my shoes.
No evidence.
I'm on my way to Wendy's and McDonald's. They're right next to each other on Woodward. Near 9 Mile, you can get the burger one place and the fries another.
Damn.
Goodbye.
Dad.
Good day.
Jim.
I don't know how I can deal with all this inspiration.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.